Poetry is about layers of meaning, and your first reading of any poem is unlikely to yield all its secrets. The late Hawaii poet Steve Schrader was fond of wordplay, and sometimes in his work, language that seems at first to be merely playful reveals a darker purpose on second and third reading. To quote a line from one of his poems, obscurity is both its best and worst feature. Susan Schultz, editor of Tin Fish Press, is about to release a new volume of Schrader's work, and she's here with a preview. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
You had to really believe in this poet to put in the work you've done to put out this edition.
Oh, I do. He's someone who sent me work in probably 2005, early 2006, and I opened the envelope and was kind of blown back by it. It was absolutely wonderful material. So I accepted one of the poems, which came out in Tin Fish 17 when we had a journal, and invited him to come to a reading, which he did, so I met him just once, and then couldn't find him when it came time to do the proofing of the journal issue, and it turned out that he had died. I found out through his friend Warren Iwasa that he had left two full manuscripts of poems, and ever since then I've been trying to get the rights to publish them, and I finally did a year or two ago, and have been working on it ever since.
There's an enormous amount of stuff in here, subject matter. It's very dense material, yeah?
It's two full manuscripts of poems, which we're publishing as one book called The Ark of the Day and The Imperfectionist. The books are similar, but they're not exactly the same. As Victoria Nelson points out in one of the blurbs, the first book tends to be a little bit more ironic and oblique. One of his lines is oblique oblige. and the second book, The Imperfectionist, tends to have more sestinas, pontoons, haiku, a lot of playfulness in which he's playing around a lot with language.
But he's got a very detailed knowledge of form as well.
He had a very detailed knowledge of a lot of things, and form is one of them.
And language as well. I mean, just use of words, the sound of words.
He had an MFA in poetry from Iowa, which he got in the late 60s, so he'd cut his teeth on that. My sense is that after he moved to Hawaii, he had stopped writing for many, many years. He earned his keep as an instructor of English, a graphic designer, a journalist. And my suspicion is that these are the poems of his last few years.
Because of the mood of the poems, the feelings that come out in them?
That and things like references to software, references. One poem that references Donald Rumsfeld. So they're certainly the poems of the 2000s anyway.
He's among other things, a punster who clearly, you know, sort of knows that a word can be given, you know, half a dozen shades of meaning, and he plays with that. Sometimes he's almost laughing at you.
Or laughing at himself, with himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. His relationship to his audience, I think, is difficult to suss out.
Yeah.
But he's definitely good with language, and also very learned in the sense that you can get to know a poem over time by looking up quite a few references. So you can read it on many different levels.
And that's what I mean by dense, that it's not, you know, I wouldn't suggest that you read these at a couple of sittings.
I had a professor in college who, when we were reading a Robert Frost poem, said, "This poem is dense and so are we." And I think that occasionally with these poems, I've had the same sense.
Right, yeah. The reader's density matches what's on the page.
But another thing that's very interesting to me is that particular kind of density seems fairly modernist or postmodernist in many ways, but the poems take place often on Waimanalo Beach, which is where he lived. So there's very much an attachment to Hawaii in these poems, which you wouldn't find in other poems that you might associate with this way of writing. So it's a very interesting kind of mix of traditions and ways of thinking about the world.
The references to Hawaii seem to introduce a warmth into the work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
Yeah, well, he lived on Waimanalo Beach in this old kind of decaying building, which is called the Castle among his friends. Mm-hmm. It actually does have a tower or a turret or whatever you call it.
Perfect place for a poet.
Yeah, and he sort of like Yeats's tower in a way.
Yeah.
But he lived there, and it has these big windows that look out on Waimanalo Beach and the ironwood trees. It's a gorgeous location. I met the man who takes care of the place, who probably owns the place, and it seemed like his full-time job was keeping it standing. But Schrader lived there for over 35 years, and he had this amazing view of the world from there.
Susan, let's read a quick poem, because there's a line in it that sounds like his personality to me.
Okay. The poem you requested is called Drowning with Fish. I don't recall us all having this much fun back from the far voyage with the family's face. I do remember the type on the page, the light on the lake, my dad's undercurrents, the vacuum of the spoken word, full of peculiar whims or stubborn notions, cantankerous and eccentric. I ply my trade by another stretch of dappled water.
You see the line that I thought referred to him, cantankerous and eccentric, I ply my trade.
Yes, also, from what I know of him, he had a large family.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in, still some of them live in the Midwest, and they vacation in the summer next to a big lake.
So that's his stretch of dappled water is Waimanalo Beach.
Exactly. Then. So he'd spent his childhoods by this lake with his father's undercurrents. His father was a nuclear physicist who was involved in the Manhattan Project.
Yikes.
And many of these poems have to do with trying to think through that. Also being the father of a son whose mother's family came from Hiroshima. So there's a lot
there's a lot to be found in these poems.
Working through that in these poems.
Well, great to have you on the show, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Susan Schultz is the editor of Tin Fish Press, which is releasing a new volume of Schrader's work. And she is the author of She's Welcome to Her Disease, Dementia Blog, Volume 2. You can learn more about her and Tin Fish Press at hpr2.org.